Bet on Bears fans, another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. Pat the designer, Jason McKee, and the man towering over us in the middle, the big man in the middle, Javon Dexter in the building. Dex, what's going on with you, my guy? How you feeling?
Great, man. Bless.
Bless. Hey, listen, you've been balling out there. It's been good to see you playing as well as you have been playing. I mean, like, let's start it off. What was the transformation for you like this offseason that has got you hitting the ground running? I mean, your training camp this year has been very ready to go.
Right. Really just getting in shape, being in better shape, being able to run. This defense, we run a lot. We hustle a lot. That's the principle. It's the Hicks principle. So just running, hustling, and being able to do those things not once but multiple times. And that's pretty much what I was doing.
Yeah. Do you feel just, I know the weight loss in the offseason, so you talked about getting faster, being more explosive. Do you feel more comfortable in terms of the playbook, this being your second year in the system?
For sure, yeah. I think that's was another step up coming into this training camp. I already know, you know what I'm saying, I already knew the guys, I already knew the room, I already knew the coaches and what they wanted, and as well, I already knew the playbook. So when you know the playbook, you know what the call is, you eliminate all thinking and you can go.
Where do you feel the most comfortable at coming into this season? Of course, you know, your size plays a part. We see you batting balls away just about every day now. Where do you feel the most comfortable with your game at right now?
Honestly, everywhere, man. I feel like I'm able to rush. I got good rush ability, and I can stop the run as well. So I don't think there's just one side. I think I'm able to do both.
Just about everything. You feel like you're dominating out here now.
Yeah, I think so. Sure.
I love it. You said the chains were off you this season when we talked to you in the press room. It seems like you're really playing with not only that, the skill set of that, but also the mentality of, like, there's nobody in front of me that's going to slow me down.
Right. And like I said, that comes from not only physically but mentally being able to eliminate all thinking and just go. I think that was a big thing for me last year was, okay, you got to learn the playbook, and then you got to learn this as a rookie, and then you don't really have time. You know, the rookie season is so long. You had training and then training camp and rookie meeting camp and all of those things. Now where you just coming in, you had an off season to learn a little more, play a little more, and get in better shape, and then having another OTA to learn a lot more. So now it's just going, honestly.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the vibe in the D-line room. So when I was here, the D-line, they always created competitions within the room. I know Rod Marinelli was a defensive line coach. He used to play videos of, like, lions chasing gazelles and stuff like that. And then them guys would always have little competitions. Who's going to get the most pressure? Who's going to get the most sack? Like, what's the vibe in the D-line
room? Yeah, we're competitive, man. Like, everybody's competitive. But you can tell it's a good competitive. Like, sometimes when I may beat Andrew, been like today, me and Andrew was in the locker room. He thinks he's faster than me. but yeah, he came out today and we do get offs every practice. And
I love it.
I'm looking on the other side and he pointing at me to go, like, come on, get on the line. And, just stuff like that. Like, he wanna beat me, but he also wants me to get better as well. Mm. And that's the type of room we have.
Did he beat you?
Man, I'm going to be honest.
I know.
We went three times. He beat me twice today. He got me today.
So he might be a little tomorrow. Okay, all right. Yeah, that's what I like.
I'm
going to
be honest with you.
Yeah. Let's break down your role in this defense. Like, what are the requirements for you playing the three technique? Like, what are the must-haves of your position in this defense?
Setting a new line of scrimmage, being in the backfield, living in the backfield, and also being able to cause havoc in the inside for a quarterback on third down, being in the quarterback's face on third down, causing him to make overthrows, tip passes, all of those little things, just causing, letting your presence be felt in the middle.
Has it been emphasized to you, of course, because the three tech is the position J-Mac got to play across from it, that is the most important position in this defense, is talked about as the key. Has it been emphasized to you how important your role is, not just for you, right, and causing pressure on the quarterback, but for what that does to Montez, what that does to DeMarcus to allow their game to flourish?
Yeah, I think not only the three tech, but the whole defensive line is the heart of the defense and the heart of the team, and as well as the three tech. When you have a player penetrating on the inside, It's a lot easier for a defensive end to just counter and make a, an inside move and make a sack, or for me, if I'm penetrating, it's easier for Andrew if he's at the nose to overlap and make a play.
Yeah.
Each position helps the other position a lot, and the three technique position is one that helps the other positions a lot.
For sure.
Growing up watching football, I know I had my favorite players. I know everybody has. Is there somebody that you watched in particular that you tried to emulate or that you wanted to be like?
Yeah, man. It was always like Chris Jones. Chris Jones for me. DeForest Buckner, those guys like that. When I first started playing, man, in high school, I Googled like 6'6" deep tackles. And that was the first thing I Googled just to see, okay, am I the only one that's 6'6"? And so I Googled all of those type of guys, and those were the guys that I liked, and I had a similar body frame and that I wanted to. I just love their game. I love that they could rush. I love how they played the run. So those two guys were two guys that I wanted.
What about their games did you see on watching their tape and stuff like that, or do you still see the screams, I can do that?
Yeah, I mean, like Chris Jones' rushability, we rush very similar. He's, the way he uses his hands, like I say, I do a lot of those stuff. And then just with DeForest, I watch a lot of his stuff where he just penetrates. And, and it's super similar. And it's also the same exact defense. So he's allowed to tag and, like, do some of those similar things. So both of those guys is seen a lot of stuff.
No, for sure.
What are some of your personal goals for this season? Do you have, like, I want to make sure I do this, I want to have this amount of sacks or this many TFLs? Like, what are your personal goals?
Yeah, I want to for sure hit 8-plus sacks.
That
was one of my main goals. 15 tackle for loss. And those are the two main ones. But, I mean, like, I know as a group and as a unit, if we do what we're supposed to do, all of that stuff will happen.
Yeah.
So I think the number one goal for us and for me is to win. Each week, and I know those will come afterward.
How much has changed just in your preparation and your mentality going from being in that two-gap system to a penetrating style where it seemed like last season, to start the season, even Flus talked about it, still a little bit slow, not where we want you to be.
Right.
And then all of a sudden it seemed like one week it was just like, oh, I got this. I didn't figure this out.
Right, and I think that comes from a lot of people know, like, okay, if you can do it and then you feel how it feels to do it, right?
Yeah.
And it becomes like a habit, and it took a little longer just because some of the stuff that I was doing, it kind of felt wrong because I wasn't able to do it in college, and then now being able to do it and continue to do it, and then okay, do it and get a tackle for loss from it. It's like, oh, I want tackle for loss, so I'm gonna do it how I did it that way, and it came normal to me and stuck with me.
It was more natural for you.
It was more natural for sure. So after feeling how I felt to do it right, it kind of stuck with me.
Who's an under-the-radar guy, a young guy on the defensive line, who you think, you know, was going to make an impact? I know they brought in Austin Booker. Mm-hmm. You were in a similar position last year being a rookie. Who's a young guy that you've seen that's progressed throughout practice that you expect to have a big season, preseason?
I'll say Austin. I think coming in, he was a little nervous coming in, like the first OTAs. He was in shirts and stuff. And then as the days went by, you kind of see him just being himself, talking more, communicating more, and then one of the days he just went off, and then he had like two or three sacks. Like after that, he's been up ever since, and I think he has a crazy rush ability. Like some of the things that he can do, it'll once he figured it all out, it'll be good for him.
Has Flus been calling the sacks fair in your opinion? Has he been kind of fair with him, or you feel like he's been leaving some on the table? Because I see y'all. It's so fun watching y'all because y'all will be like, hey, yo, we got him.
I think it just depends, man. I think sometimes if he wants to keep it rolling and keep the offense rolling, he probably will miss a couple. But it just depends on what day you get, what Flus you get on the sacks. So.
No,
so who's the biggest trash talker on the team? Today I saw DeMarcus Walker, 2-minute drill. He's yelling. He takes his helmet off. But then I'm on the sideline. Tariq Stevenson says he's not even practicing. Terrell Smith breaks up a DJ Moore pass, and Tariq Stevenson yells at DJ Moore, hey, I would have picked that. Like, who's the biggest trash talker on the team right now?
I say DeMarcus.
DeMarcus, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. But he does it with a a good intent. He wants everyone to get better. Like, he wants to, like, there's been times where the offense will mess up and he's like, come on, y'all better than that. So, I mean, he talks his trash, but I think DeMarcus is, like, when he got here, he was a great leader last year, but I think now it's just more natural. He's becoming one of the, like, the better leaders on the team.
I'm seeing the confidence grow in you because I think it was two practices ago. You were getting in on a little bit of the trash talk. I saw you saying a little something. You know what I mean? I didn't see that before. You was kind of like, nah, I'm gonna let other people have it.
I mean, I play with some passion myself as well, and then like I said, DeMarcus' energy sometimes rub off on
you. You can't help but get fired
right,
up with
him. Yeah, so he probably turned me up a little bit that day as well.
When you look at kind of the expectation that's been placed on this defense, of course, first episode of Hard Knocks comes out. The Michael Jordan music is playing, the Chicago Bulls music, but the Michael Jordan music, we know who it's about, is playing. And in Chicago, that is the highest expectation. When you hear the things that people are putting on you as far as being a defense, you being a key of this defense, does that get you more excited about this season? Does it make you want to run towards those expectations more? Or is it kind of like, all right, let's temper the expectations. We're going to accomplish what we accomplish here.
Yeah, I think yeah, it does. I think even, like I said, from the jump being drafted here already, you know what I mean, motivated me enough. Like walking into the numbers on the wall and just like little stuff like that. Like, yeah. That already motivated me in itself, and just knowing like what we could do, and actually having the team and having the guys around you that can accomplish some of those goals. Yeah, it's definitely motivating. We feel like this team is up for the task for sure.
Yeah, I got one more question. What is your evaluation of Caleb? You know, you're opposite him each and every day. Like, where have you seen him from day one practice to where he is now?
I think coming in, he had natural leadership skills just coming in from jump, but I think he's gotten better at this being more vocal with it. Like I don't know if it's a couple of days ago, but he grabbed the team together, like, hey y'all, make sure y'all clean your stuff, you know what I'm saying, stuff up. And as a young guy, I know that's kind of hard, being young, and just him doing that, everybody literally, all right, yeah, we got you, you know what I'm saying, we got you, you're the leader, we're gonna make sure we're doing that. And that's all you can, you know what I'm saying?
How was that received? Because I've heard, and of course, former players that are great players have talked about this. We heard Shannon Sharp talking about it. Ocho Cinco talked about it. Imani Toomer got in on it as well. And it's been met with mixed reviews from people outside of y'all locker room. How did the veterans in there receive that?
We took it. Yeah, that's QB1. That's the leader of the team. Yeah, we took it. If he sees something and that we wasn't doing right, and he said it, we need to do better with it.
It's just a natural respect that he exudes out of there. I love that. Hey, man, appreciate you coming on the show.
Yeah.
Can't wait to see what you're going to be able to do this season. And at the end of the day, man, go out there and ball out. Yes, that's what we want to see, man.
We're going
to
get it. For 8 and a half. That's the number. We're going to get it.
8 and a half.
Appreciate your time.
He said 8, didn't he? You said 8 and a half. He said, okay.
8 and a half, man. 8 and a half counts, man. 8 and a half counts, baby. 8 matters, man.
Awesome having Javon Dexter on the show. I mean, listen, first off, he is huge.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sitting here, I'm like, J-Mac's over there somewhere.
But he was bigger last year. Remember, he lost the weight. I remember I took a picture with him last year, me and my son Jordan. And, you know, when he walked up, I was like, man, I didn't realize that guy was – I knew he was tall, but he's put together, man. So, you know, it's exciting to see that he feels more comfortable in his defense year two. It's exciting that the D-line, they're finding ways to challenge each other, to make each other better. I think that's things that you have to have in these position groups if you want to, you know, continue to try to maintain a competitive edge. But if you want to grow as a position group, you need to have those things. You need to have those inner competitions within the room. And then I like his goals. You know, he said his goal is to have 8.5 sacks. Yeah. I think that's very doable. But I love the fact that, and in terms of him describing what is necessary to play three technique in his defense, like, he hit it on the head. You got to be a disruptor. You got to be able to displace the line of scrimmage. You know what I mean? He talked about the TFLs. Like, he's got to be effective in the run game. And we've had a lot of great three techniques here in Chicago.
Yeah.
And let's hope, you know, I hope he's the next on the line, because, you know, he put in the work. He understood what he lacked last season. And he hit the offseason preparing himself to be able to, you know, do what's required of that position.
And listen, he was a part of a unit that we saw make a massive impact today. I mean, if we're going to grade anything, was this practice 12? What practice are we at now? Is this 12, 13? I don't even know which number
padded,
we have.
Padded
now.
Practice, what is it?
Well,
five,
well,
maybe?
I mean, listen, man.
Don't call them no other. It's not practice.
They have to show
now.
Up and play.
This is their first practice of the week. They had 2 days of walkthrough, and then they were in pads on Sunday. So
that is my favorite thing about J-Mac. If you bring up a practice where pads were not on, he's like, that wasn't practice. They were out there. They were doing an activity today.
We'll call a spade a spade.
But, I mean, listen,
back in pads. So I guess by you practice four or five,
right?
Not a good day for the offense. I mean, I thought it was I thought it was a very tough day offensively. I thought that you didn't see much movement. The defense controlled it, and it started at one spot. And I know people are sick of hearing me talk about this, but the offensive line was getting destroyed all day, every day.
And it's tough because, you know, we just want to say it's the offensive line, right?
It's not just the offensive line.
And the problem I have with that is, like, I'm not in the huddle, so I don't know what the protection was called.
Right.
I don't know what protection was called, but I did see second-level pressures where linebackers are coming scot-free.
Yeah.
You know, and that worries me. You have a linebacker coming scot-free. I know somebody responsible for him. Is the line picking him up in a slide, or is the back picking him up? You know what I'm saying? There was definitely some protection issues, despite knowing what the protection is called. I know there were some issues. I felt like just the D-line, the defense got after it.
Oh, dominated. Dominated. There was one point, I want to say it was a situational period at the end, where DeMarcus Walker comes through. I mean, blows up. I believe it was Braxton Jones that was on him. Gets through. Would have killed Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
I mean, it would have been like, pick your head up. Have a great day.
Mm-hmm.
And D-Walk comes out, says, can't nobody F with me, slams the helmet
See, the only thing, it was good and bad, right? Because that was a two-minute drill. So when he takes the helmet off,
and slammed it, it was a penalty, right?
And the official actually kind of threw the flag, but you know, now with the new, you know, they've got to be off the field 2 hours max. But back in the day, that period would have been extended. You know, that would have been a first down
because it would have been a first down.
So it was exciting that you have a guy that's full of energy. You know, a guy who's, you know, a vocal leader of this team, makes a play and he's yelling, he's barking at the offensive line to get them inspired, to get them pumped up. You know, and we've seen that throughout training camp. You know, there was a play where Terrell Smith broke up a pass on DJ Moore, and, you know, Tariq Stevenson was on the bike, and I'm kind of standing over there.
Yeah.
And Tariq gets off the bike, and he's yelling at DJ Moore, and he says, hey, if I was out there, I would have picked that.
Yeah.
And DJ Moore's looking at him and starts shaking his head. Well, he's like, we'll do it. But I love that banter back and forth because we're trying to make each other better.
Yeah.
These are all things you're going to encounter in the game. Guys are going to talk trash. Guys are going to be physical, you know, and these are things that you have to do if you're just, you know, continually trying to get better.
If you were to say, and you would know better than me, where this offense is at right now, I mean, do you feel like that they've improved since you first saw them in pass? Do you feel like they're moving in the right direction? Because to me, when I watch it, and I know there's a lot of ups and downs. We mentioned the offensive line, but it doesn't feel like we're seeing every day that we got this much better. It feels like this week has been a little bit stagnant from the game, and this is supposed to be the ramp-up week.
Yeah, and you look at it like this, right? I could see the offense struggling a little bit today because, you know, those guys didn't play in a game last week.
Yeah,
they didn't play in a Hall of Fame game. Then they had a day off. Then you had basically a walkthrough yesterday.
But neither did your starting defense.
You're right. And then but remember, the defense
has been together.
It's the same defense.
Yeah.
It's the same defense. You know, different terminology, different, you know, personnel. You've got new guys in there, new quarterback.
Yeah.
The cadence is different in terms of the way you even call the cadence compared to what you did last year. So offensively, you're always going to be a step behind the defense because there's a lot of moving parts for one offensive play to work.
Right.
All 11 guys got to be on the same page for one offensive play to work. You know what I mean? And if one guy's off or one guy goes the wrong way, the chances of that play working is slim.
Yeah.
So that and we don't know the volume of install, right? You would think that a lot of this offense is installed being so late in camp, but the install, when you look at an offensive install, there's a lot that goes into it, a lot of different formations. You know, now you've added four or five shifts in motions, right? Now you've added another run play or you've added a variation of a run play. So that's a lot for, you know, guys who are in a new offensive system the first year to process. You know what I'm saying?
Break down install for people who may not be, you know, the football savants that you are. Like when does install end? Is it just when I told you everything you're supposed to know?
It just depends on how many plays that offensive coordinator has. Like some coordinators, they believe more is better. And there's some coordinators that believe less is more.
Yeah.
Less is better. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, like the great coaches, they're only going to give you what your team can handle. So if they're installing every day, if they're installing, you know, four different formations, right? And then you have, okay, of those four different formations, we're going to add four different motions, four different shifts. We're going to add four runs, and we're going to add, you know, six passes, three play action, three drop back. Well, as an offense, if we're struggling, if we continue to struggle, then I have to dial it back as a coach. I have to dial back the install because we're not playing fast. We're out there thinking. And you can tell when your guys are out there thinking, right, because what happens? They can't line up, right? They don't know who's going in motion. you're hindering your guys. You know, you always want to play fast, and you always want to make sure as a coach that you're not too prideful to say, you know what, this is my system. I'm going to install whatever I want. I've got to be humble enough to say, you know what, I can only give my guys what they can handle, so I got to scale it back for them.
Does it say something about Shane Waldron and the difference that we've seen that he has had a willingness already to make a major change to a player who all we've known him as is a wide receiver and a kick returner in Bayless Jones, that he says, listen, if you give me him as a running back, maybe I can use him more. Maybe I can do some different things with him.
Yeah, I think it's they're just trying. There's a guy who's very athletic, a guy that has the ability to make a lot of plays, and they're trying to find a way to see if there's a way they can keep him on this roster. Because I'll be real with you, you know, today they were practicing kickoff returns.
We heard Flusay bubble guy yesterday. Well,
but I was looking at they were working kickoff returns today.
Yeah.
And I saw DeAndre Carter back there, and I saw Khalil Herbert back there. And both of those guys look really good back there.
Yeah.
And you've got, and I think in this new format of kickoff return, I think you have to have a guy that's more of a running back type body. And
because it's kind of like the line there. Yeah.
It's borderline a running play.
Yeah.
You got to be able to make somebody miss in a short area. You got to be strong enough to break tackles. And I think Velas can do all of those things, but, you know, it's competition. You know, how many receivers are they going to keep? Colin Johnson just had a big game. You know, it's DeAndre Carter's there. Khalil's looked really good in practice, and they can find a guy who can play running back and be the kick returner that puts more pressure on Velas making his roster.
Do you feel like we're seeing Velas at running back because they think there's a real reason to use him as a running back, or do you feel like they're seeing him there because they want him to understand, okay, this is kind of what you're going up against. You need to know how to get through the offensive line so that you can figure out how to get through this on kick return.
I just think they're trying to find a way to utilize his athleticism, and they're trying to find a way to, you know, get him on this team, or possibly him earning an opportunity on this team.
Yeah.
And I think the best way they feel is running back, because you look at it like this, you know, in the receiver room, you know, there's four guys that's on the team. Keenan, DJ, right? Tyler, right? And you think of Rome, and then it's, who is it, Colin? You know what I'm saying? You figure who's going to be the fifth guy. Like, and if they put Velas at running back, they feel like, I mean, just telling you right now, he's not going to be that fifth guy at receiver. Right. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Is he at a point where he may not make this team, which would be the first time where we've even, like, felt this way or talked this way about him? Because literally it seemed like every time where it was like, there's no shot.
Yeah.
He's on the team.
Yeah, it's just confusing.
I said many times, like, listen, he's got to have some pitches on somebody.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's man, when he gets the ball in his hands, there's a lot of things he can do.
Yeah.
I mean, he has rare athletic ability, right? He's fast. He's strong. But we see he struggled. He struggled catching the ball. He struggled fielding the ball.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's made a lot of mistakes that you can't continue to make if you want to be on the NFL roster. And I think for him, it's just finding a way, okay, let's get the ball in his hands and let's let him go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So let's try him at running back. You know, obviously it's a crowded running back room too. So you're just trying to see what this guy can do.
And that's why it's tough for me to think that all of a sudden, right, he's going to make it as this phenomenal running back.
Yeah.
I got DeAndre Swift. Mm-hmm. I've got Khalil Herbert. I've got Roschon Johnson, who, yeah, he's dealing with some injury right now. But outside of that, you and me watched Ian Wheeler. I think Ian Wheeler is a really good running back that if you're going to have somebody as a practice squad guy, you would have him. Like,
yeah.
I'm confused on where he's going to be able to fit in, if he's going to be able to fit in, or if this is just us literally like, dog, you about to be a gunner.
Yeah, I'm trying to – yeah, I mean, you figure at this point, I mean, with the performance that Colin had last week, and, you know, I know he gets some playing time this week, and Colin's got to continue to build upon that. But, you know, Colin went out there and he made the first tackle on special teams.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And I literally, like, it was the first thing I thought. I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a solidified spot.
And you figure the fifth receiver on this team is going to have to be a special teams guy.
Yes.
You know what I mean? The third running back.
Roschon Johnson or Travis Homer.
Travis Homer is a four-phase special teams guy.
Yeah.
So that's where, you know, in terms of Velas, you look at, okay, where is his fit on offense? But realistically, where is his fit on special teams?
Yeah.
If he doesn't earn that return job, then where is it?
Yeah.
You know, so it's going to be interesting. And then it's also interesting, Pat, to see how in the Hall of Fame game, you sit the starters, but then Velas doesn't get any reps. Like, I'm trying to evaluate Velas, but I'm not giving him reps in a game in which starters aren't playing. Velas is not – he wasn't a starter.
Which in my mind, had the feel of – he's a starter, so you know you're not going to play him there. But then we get to this week.
He's that running
and
back.
And I have no – like, you know what I mean?
He's that running back.
I was like, okay, well, I guess I get it. You said none of the starters are playing. Torrey didn't play outside of running on the field.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there was a bunch of things of players who didn't play because of – or played a little bit because of, like, certain quirks in the game. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, okay, it makes sense. Bayless not playing. Hey, I left that game more worried, like, Khalil Herbert got the second team snaps.
Yeah.
Like, that's different. Okay, like, maybe he's not – like, but then we're on this side of it, and all of a sudden it's Velus Jones not being a part of things that Velus Jones was heavily a part of before the first game.
And another thing, too, we can look – I mean, I know we're overanalyzing things as we should. It's training camp. But
it's training camp. That's
what
we got.
You look at today. I mean, today, we're not practicing. Ian Wheeler wasn't practicing.
Yeah.
Rashawn wasn't practicing.
Yeah.
They were out there on the bike. Yeah. So there's no depth there. You've got Demetric Felton. You know, you have DeAndre Swift.
Yeah.
You have Khalil out there. You're throwing Velus. You see what I'm saying? So it's – you know, it's just a situation now where Velus gets another opportunity to show what he can do at running back. If they play, you got to play him though.
As a running back fullback, what is your assessment of him? Seeing him a couple days at the position.
I mean, today was the first day I saw him. I obviously when they ran outside zone and he bounces it means he's pressing that ball and bouncing it outside. He has the speed.
Yeah.
But I noticed when they're running in between the tackles, it didn't look natural. Kind of hesitation, stopping his feet, and when you stop your feet on the interior as a ball carrier, like, you have no power. You know what I mean? And I think he's running a little bit high, as, all young backs or new running backs. If you're running high, guess what? You're going to be on somebody's highlight tape. You got to run with low pads.
What Chad say?
You got to run with pad level, man.
What Chad say? He said, you either do it over here or you feel it on the field.
You see how Coach Moore is yelling at those guys when they're through the chute?
Yeah,
you're too high. You're too high.
You're going to learn it over there.
You're going to learn it, man. You're going to be on somebody's highlight tape. And trust me, I know I've been KO'd a couple times running too high.
Who ran into you when you were too high?
I got KO'd a couple times.
You're not going to get nobody the credit on that.
When you get that hip pointer, you get hit in your stomach or that liver, you're going to run behind your pads.
Yeah.
It only takes one to understand that I got to get low. So
a tough day for the offense, a phenomenal day for the defense. I thought the defense looked really good. One of the questions that I got asked when we were live on the Breeze one day, and I thought it was an excellent question, with training camp right now, do you feel that the defense is so good because the offense is struggling, or is the offense struggling because of how good the defense is?
Yeah, I'm not. It's there's a thing, right? Like in training camp, normally you don't scheme your defense. You know what I'm saying? And the defense doesn't necessarily scheme your offense.
Yeah.
So it's not like Coach Waldron is watching film on a defense and saying, we're going to scheme
this
them.
This is how to attack them.
Whatever they're putting in, whatever the install, like in his installation calendar, whatever the install is for August 7th is what we're going to install.
Yeah.
Now, the defense may have they're going to have a different install in which they may bring a lot of pressure. But if we're installing a protection that doesn't allow us to pick up that pressure, we're going to see what we saw today, guys running free.
Yeah.
But it's not because the offense is slacky. It's because they haven't installed that particular protection to pick up that defense.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's so hard to say that. The offense is just struggling and there was some lapses in protection just because they're not scheming each other. They're going to install what they install, and they're going to run what they run.
You almost have to, and I know we always say this, right? You got to have the bad days to get to the good days, but you almost have to have those days so that you know where the deficiencies in the play are to then adjust the play for the type of defense that you're going up against.
Definitely, because the good thing is, you have – they'll go back and they'll watch the tape. They'll go back and watch this film, right? And – Waldron will say, okay, linebacker TJ came scot-free.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Through the A gap. Well, this is the protection we have to answer that. This is the protection we have to pick that up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We didn't have an install today, but this protection will pick that up. You know what I mean? So it's all teaching. It's all evaluation for these guys. It's good reps. It's good reps because this offense, as we know, I mean, you're seeing a really good defense. Top caliber players, blue chip players at every level of this defense. I mean, Montez Sweat on the D-line, TJ and Tremaine at linebacker.
Yeah.
And obviously, Jalen Johnson, and you're looking at two ascending players in Kyler Gordon and Jaquan Brisker.
Yeah.
That's a very good defense structurally that a young quarterback is facing each and every day in training camp. Now, here's the caveat to that. It's a controlled environment, right? So when Caleb drops back, we yell sack, but we don't. How is he going? We yell sack, but how is he going to react to getting hit?
Yeah,
getting back up. Like it's a controlled environment. It's not a game type speed. So, yes, he's seeing a great defense, but it's still a controlled practice tempo. We want to see Caleb in game action. We want to see, you know, Caleb. Let's get him. Let's let him go through a game type, a pregame prep. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
What is he doing in the locker room? You know, what is his pregame warm up like? We need to see him in live action.
And I think that's why heading into Buffalo, and I get it. I'm going to be honest with you. Based on kind of some of the assessment that we've seen, I don't know if Caleb's going to play this Sunday or Saturday. I really don't, because the thing that we keep hearing Flew say is our expectation is to play him depending on who's available.
Mm.
Depending on who's available to me means if my starting offensive line ain't out there, Caleb Williams ain't playing. So now you're talking about 2 weeks of not putting him out there versus a team where – I hate to tell you this, you're probably going to have to play without the perfect version of your offensive line when Tennessee gets here.
Right. Yeah, it's tough, man. It's you know, it's Nate Davis in practice again today. You know, he's getting a lot of reps in practice, which is great, getting a lot of different looks against a good defense. But like we keep saying, that get those game reps is a lot different from a practice tempoed rep.
When somebody can actually take your head off. When that linebacker coming through the middle actually can hit you.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Like what happens when, you know, I want to see, like we know he has all the tools to be great, right? But the great ones, right, when they get hit, they get up, brush the dirt off their jersey, and go back and lead a drive.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm not saying I want him to get hit in preseason, no, but these are all questions that's going to have to be answered throughout the season. You know, he gets hit, all right? Can he battle back from that? All right. Yeah. He makes a bad play. Can he overcome that? Those are questions he answered in college. This isn't college. This is the National Football League. Game speed's different. Guys are trying to feed their families. The D-line's hungry.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They know Caleb Williams. They know he's a first overall pick.
Yeah.
They watch Hard Knocks. They know he got $25 million to sign. Like, they know all these things. You know what I'm saying?
Like, first off, were you like the rest of that room that's been here for a little while?
I was like,
when he said, when
hit the beige on him, said, I was like,
when he said he signed 25-5.
Like, beige, I was like, you see, beige went in convulsions, in man, beige. But here's the thing about Hard Knocks, though.
What's Tyson getting? Tyson getting two?
I don't know what
I think Tyson's making two.
But this is the thing about this is the thing, right? I know we didn't see it, but Caleb, like you, right, rookie performance, you know, John Legend, Ordinary People
song. Yeah,
you gotta know the words. They had it on the screen. You can't pick a song you don't know. Like if you're a rookie back in the day, we'd make you go every day until you give us a good performance.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
You gotta get that
they
right.
They may be doing that whole time.
They probably
have done that and they just didn't make the show because it wasn't as funny. But
yeah, and then the other guy, Theo
Benedict.
Yeah, they could have cut that out, man.
Hey, you gotta pronounce the T on his name now. Theo Benedict.
There's children watching this show. You can't put that on there.
Well,
man.
It does. Hey, it starts off, it says TVMA. So if there's children watching the show, you got some bad parenting going on. Right?
I mean, but my overall assessment of the show, I thought it was really cool.
I thought it was
really good, man. Like even the intro, like with them just showing downtown Chicago, like they started off, right? They showed like they went back and showed clips of the history of the Bears and all the great players. They showed Butt, because so
yeah.
I think they showed Sayers on
I
there.
I like this kind of party.
Yeah, that's they
every Bears anything.
Man. Like
any
you see,
Bears anything.
See Samurai Mike on there, and then they start cutting the clips of beautiful downtown. Like I'm like, man, like I started watching. I was like, I know why I stay here.
Yeah.
People ask me why do you stay in Chicago because of that right there?
Hey,
because of the summers, man.
I'm gonna tell you this right now. No matter what, anytime I go to another city, like we just went to Canton.
Oh, bro.
No disrespect to Canton. Football heaven.
No.
Football heaven.
Yeah.
But once you're done with the football stuff.
Oh, man.
I really miss Chicago. You know what I mean? I was like, it's 9:30. I'm in a brewery right now eating a burger by myself because there's not much else to do here.
Everywhere you go.
I watched a couple Indians games. They were not the Indians. What are they now? The Guardians. I watched a couple Guardians games. My fault. I'm old. And they were entertaining. That was my.
You're right though. Everywhere I go, I compare it to Chicago. Like everywhere, every city I go to, I go back to Philadelphia and you know, Temple. I went to Temple, which is Philadelphia.
Yeah,
a great city of brotherly love.
Yeah.
But it's just. I hate to say it, Philly. You can be mad at me all you want. It's not Chicago, man. It's not.
You know what throws me off? When a city shuts down. Like, we were in Canton, and I literally was just like, it's 11 o'clock, and I'm seeing people pack stuff up.
Yeah.
What are y'all doing? There's so much daylight.
You wasn't with us, though. Well, I'm telling you.
Well, listen, man, I got the invite a day later. You know what I mean?
Gone, though. You didn't reach out. I told you to reach out to me. Man, I'm telling you, it was like the Hall of Fame was such a great experience,
yeah.
Obviously, because I got to be there and to celebrate,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Three former Bears, you know, Devin Hester, Steve McMichael, Julius Peppers. But it's also great because you see all the Hall of Famers that have already gone in, and they're around. Like, you know, I'm down in the lobby, and, you know, me and Devin, we're down there, and we're sitting there talking with Dale Green, Bruce Smith. Willie Rove put me in a headlock because he wanted to take a picture. We were taking a picture, and I didn't want to stand next to him because he's a giant. And I'm like, I'm not standing next to Willie. And he's like, he puts me in a headlock, and he says, no, fullbacks and O-linemen stick together. And I tried to get out of the headlock,
He still got it.
I said, this dude's strong. But it's cool. You know, it's stuff like that. You get to see guys who, you know, who I idolized growing up.
Yeah.
I got to see Marcus Allen. I got to meet Eric Dickerson, man.
Yeah.
Tony Dorsett was there. Jerome Bettis is my favorite player of all time, who I've had an opportunity to meet in the past. But, you know, got to sit there and see him again. Like, it's such an awesome experience, you know what I mean, to see those guys. You know, we were hanging out, you know, at one of the bars, and it's Emmitt Smith, Warren Sapp, Michael Irvin, Bruce Smith, Dre Bly,
yeah.
Marshall Faulk. We're all in the same section just hanging out, you know, just – Bruce Smith, you know, he's trying to dance and he's telling stories. You know, Emmitt Smith, who I've known since I was in high school, from the same hometown.
Yeah.
You know, he sees me, Jay, gives me a big hug. I haven't seen him in a long time. Introduces me to Marshall Faulk, you know, another guy who I idolized growing up. So that's the beauty of it, right? It's such a, you're celebrating guys going in, but you're also seeing the legends who are already in and legends who just, you know, just revitalize the game. They're bigger than life. They change the game.
Yeah, I got to see a couple guys down there, and it literally is just like, you doing this. I've gotten to the point where it's like I'm not as starstruck seeing a player. I remember meeting Devin as a kid. I got to hoop against Devin, and AP came up
I believe to probably
Gold's Gym.
Yeah,
back in the day, and they was hooping.
Yeah.
And they was like, all right, you got Devin. I was like, I ain't got Devin. I was like, I'll take AP. It was a bad decision. AP ball too.
AP's a serious basketball
player. So they just flying up and down the court, dunking everything.
Yeah.
And I just remember meeting them and just being like starstruck at it. And then you start doing this, and it's like, okay, like these are normal people. You're not as starstruck. When you go down to Canton and you see those Hall of Famers, you're still starstruck.
Yeah.
You're still sitting there going, that's Emmitt Smith.
Yeah, I was starstruck, man. And for Emmitt, though, you know, growing up in Pensacola, Florida, and you know, going to this football camp when I was younger, like, it's always good to, you know, to interact with him and, you know, play with him in Dallas, you know, class act guy,
100%.
You know, all the way. Taught me a lot about the game and how to prepare and how to be a pro. But just meeting some of the other guys, like, you know, Marshall Faulk and, you know, being in there with Michael Irvin and meeting Bruce Smith for the first time. And, you know, with Bruce, it was interesting because, you know, he played in Buffalo, and our old strength coach here with the Bears was Rusty Jones, who was the head strength coach in Buffalo for all those years in which Bruce was there.
Right, and he
used to always talk about Bruce, his work ethic, you know, what he did in the weight room, how he took care of his body. And then they get to see Bruce and talk to him and say, hey, Rusty Jones, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
A common guy who we know and, you know, who was our strength coach. You know, it's always interesting to see, you know, interact with those guys and to see them off the field in a different setting.
We really went down the tangent on this. I love it, though. We really went down. That's a podcast right there, ladies and gentlemen. That's how you do a podcast. We went down the rabbit hole.
Hall of Fame recap.
Let me ask you this before we get up out of here, because this was my one takeaway from Hard Knocks, which is kind of how we started all of this. And I mentioned it with Javon.
Yeah.
You started off with the music of arguably, and maybe not arguably, the greatest athlete.
Yeah.
To play in the city of Chicago, the greatest athlete to play in the NBA. Some people believe the greatest athlete of all time. I don't know if I go that far, but he's up there. He's top three. I got a couple athletes that I put Wayne Gretzky up there.
Over Jordan?
Wayne, you take half Wayne Gretzky's career away, he's still the record holder everything in the NHL.
Yeah.
That don't make sense to me, dog.
Yeah.
So Wayne Gretzky is like my number one. He's the greatest of the greats. He's my goat of goats. But is that the organization allowing that to be put out there? Is that saying, hey, we're not running from the pressure. We're not running from the expectations that you have on us. In fact, we'll raise you these expectations. Because when I heard that music, I was like, you know people are going to now say, oh, you put Jordan music to him? Well, Michael Jordan rookie year was 28.5, 7-6. Right. He was an MVP conversation, and he was a rookie of the year. So that's the expectation we putting out there? Yeah, that's how it came off to me watching Hard Knocks.
And you even heard, like, I think it was a great segment in Hard Knocks with Nick Saban. I felt that was the best segment with Nick and Coach Eberflus and Nick Saban saying, hey, like, expectation is the biggest killer of quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And I think it's huge that, you know, I think Poles and company did a great job of finding a quarterback that not only had the skill set and the talent, but they had the ability, or they felt had the ability, to be able to withstand a market like Chicago that's going to have so many expectations, that's going to evaluate everything it does, evaluate every snap, evaluate every throw. Can you handle the pressure? Can you handle the bright lights in the city of Chicago? Can you embrace the suck at quarterback that we've had? You see what I'm saying? And I don't want to say it that way, but that's the reality.
It is.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, do you know the history of the quarterbacks in this organization? You know what I mean?
Did we ever do how many quarterbacks you played with? It's a lot. I went down the list. We got to do that on the show. I went down the list one day of like years here.
A lot of quarterbacks, man. But that's the thing that he's going to have to overcome, because now, first overall pick, you're brought in here as the savior.
Right.
Like, the expectation is for you, I don't care if you're a rookie, is to go out there and to lead this team to the playoffs. We've done everything we can to help you. We built the infrastructure up around you. We brought in Keenan. We extended DJ. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We drafted Darnell Wright the previous year. We brought in DeAndre Swift. We signed, we drafted Rome Odunze at number 9. You got a defense that's second year in the system that was a top caliber defense in the league last year.
Yeah.
So now we're giving you no excuses. And all we need you to do is to be the guy that we drafted you to be.
100%.
It's tough to do. It's tough to do, man. It's not easy playing quarterback in this league.
It's not easy playing quarterback, and Caleb is starting off going through the bumps and bruises that takes. But, hey, hopefully tomorrow will be a little bit better. Pads on again tomorrow, so it'll be good to see him back-to-back practice number 6 for them, according to J-Mac.
In pads. In pads.
They only got 6 practices that count. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. I mean, like, hope we see a little bit better tomorrow. For Jason McKee, your boy Pat the Designer, back at it again. Bear down, y'all. Peace.